previously on Good Sex, Bad Sex.
Sexrovert is an LGBT comedy night that runs in Soho, where the theme is sexual well-being, which Miranda has performed at and was amazing.
Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex, a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's kind of like Spider-Man, but with stickier fingers.
My name is Bebe Lynch. I'm a journalist and broadcaster.
And I'm Miranda Kane, and I'm a comedian. But before all of that, I used to be a sex worker.
Check out some of our sex blogs on metro.co.uk.
Coming up,
we're chatting to a lucky lady currently having sex with, Miranda, seven men.
Seven. Blimey.
Juicy kisses from Julia White. I'm a businesswoman, I am married, and I have a most fabulous lifestyle.
So, Bebe, do you think you're going to be able to handle a polyamorous relationship?
Why did you waste the energy and air that baby Jesus gave you asking that question?
Why not? What are your thoughts on it?
I'm so jealous. If I like someone on Twitter and I see them liking someone else's tweets, I get the shits.
No.
There's something wrong with me. I know there's something wrong with me. I'm extremely the wrong way.
No.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of people that relate to you.
Do you? Do you think I'm all right, normal?
Right, let's talk to our guest.
I think good sex is when you feel really comfortable and great about yourself with someone. It gets really happy, slappy, messy, fucky, wucky. I think bad sex is when you feel really deeply awkward and someone is, like, not being themselves.
Julia.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, Bebe. I was just on my way to spend a night with Ahmed in Battersea. So I thought I'd stop by Hans High Street, Ken, and see you.
Were
yeah.
you?
Mm,
this is
yeah.
your husband, I guess.
Nope.
Oh, who is this lucky man?
One of my seven lovers. One of your seven lovers?
Yeah.
Seven. Yeah, like seven dwarves.
You got
like princesses. Seven dwarfs, but only like they tall enough to like make me happy in various places. And
so yeah. You are polyamorous.
Yes, yep. And it's the really interesting thing is that it's relatively new. So after 8 years of being in a monogamous relationship and a lifetime of like not even considering anything but monogamy, mm-hmm. I opened up my marriage, and it's been probably the most interesting time of my life.
Did something happen that made you say, okay, this is happening? Because I written down the question and said, why did you become? Then I'm like, can you become polyamorous? Were you always, and were you always denying it?
I think it's a choice. I think according to books like Sex at Dawn, we're all wired biologically to be with multiple partners, but it's a question of whether you choose, how you choose to exercise your sexuality, which is one of the most powerful forces accessible to us as human beings. So what happened is that my husband and I had an arrangement whereby I was okay to see women, which is something I've been interested in and fantasizing about forever. So I was going to parties where women meet and have steamy sex, basically.
Mm-hmm. No, these aren't drunkware parties, are they?
These are other parties. It's like a vision of paradise. Like sometimes I just, in one of those parties, I'd sit on the sofa, sip my drink, and just look at it like a sea of like naked female bodies writhing and moaning. And I was like, this is like, this is like paradise. No. It's like, but it's really sweet. I just like loved it. I used to love it. And I never thought that I would want to be with another guy. It didn't feel like something that was important or on my radar at all. And then I did a few interesting workshops. So there's this festival, which I highly recommend, called Togetherness,
okay.
that I went to like last year. And there were a lot of like events and workshops around relationships, intimacy, la-di-da-di-da. And in a few of them, I did like exercises with guys, just tantric exercises, looking at each other, like some light touch, stuff like that. And I just thought, holy cow, like there's so much from in me yearning to be expressed that's to do with sexuality and with eroticism, but not just coming from a place of like lust as in I just need to get it out of my system, more like just something like a creative force yearning to be manifested. And I just thought, wow, like this is not something to be ignored. So my other half and I actually had a chat around about this time, And he said to me, by the way, I'm now in a place of kind of confidence as a man where I don't, if you ever wanted to be with a guy, I wouldn't see it as a problem. I don't.
So did he start that conversation or did you?
So it was, it kind of happened around the same time that he said that he never thought he would feel that way, but he kind of now feels like it wouldn't be a problem. And then that happened. So I kind of went back to him and I'm like, remember that conversation we had?
Yeah, which I teach you can't go back on.
Got a written record, you know, there he has a hard copy. And we're like, ooh, okay. What do we do to kind of experiment with it a little bit just to kind of feel into it and just, you know, so it feels safe? So we went to a couple of parties. There's another party that a couple of my friends run. It's called Pleasure Island. And okay. It's like a safe space, usually 20, 30 people where like a lot of juicy sex happens, but it's not a kind of drunken orgy. It's more like a wholesome orgy.
There's dicks around.
No, but there's feathers and there's massage oils and it just feels like, and then there's standing naked and eating hummus. And that just to me, that's you. Like, that's a part of any good play party. Like at some point you're going to be like standing, chatting away with your dick out or your boobs out or whatever it is that you have and having hummus and carrots.
Yeah.
So that was that.
I'm never going to think about them in the same way again. No. Hummus and carrots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And little chocolates. Yeah.
Were you excited or scared? Because that is a whole can of worms you're opening up. Yeah.
Both. I'd say at that time I was probably more excited than scared, but there came a time later when I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm just rearranging my entire life because I feel like I want to explore something. Is that coming from a place of like selfishness, of like really feeling like one dick is not enough? Or is that really something that I feel is essential to my personality and something yearning to be expressed? So there were definitely moments of fear afterwards where I was like, because you're essentially changing your entire value system around relationships. Yeah. And I was like, am I ready for this, for my values to change? And what does it mean in other areas of my life, how I relate to people in general? And something that's been so strongly embedded in me by my family and generations before is that, am I ready to actually put all of that on the side to an extent? Because I feel strongly that my sexuality as a woman wants to be expressed in that way. And I thought about it quite a lot. And like these days, I believe that the world would be so much better off if we as women owned our pleasure and owned our sexuality much more.
Did you come up with rules or, you know, did he come up with rules or did you come up with rules for yourself?
A friend of mine who is a poly stand-up comedian, and she has this like joke. I'll tell you how it works between us later. But she has this joke that really nicely represents how rule setting with your primary partner or your kind of committed partner usually goes. And it's like, okay, well, let's have a meeting from time to time to check in how things are going. So during the first meeting, she says, me and my like long-term partner head, we were just like, so rule number one, we change the sheets if somebody else has stayed over. And rule number two, less meetings. And it kind of worked in a similar way between us. I was like, oh, we're going to have to get really serious. There are all these books out there about being poly and about like whatever you call it and how different setups people have and like, and you get nervous about it. And the truth is that the best way is to just feel into it and keep the communication lines open because you're going to get at some point, you're going to get triggered about something or scared about something. For me, that moment came once when my other half spent a night with a wonderful lady that I know quite well. because I have a threesome I had with her. And
okay. Side, yeah. I love how you explained that.
He spent a night with her and I never felt like there was anything wrong. I was really happy for him. But he, at the beginning, we used to have this thing where we just in the morning, we'd like, if we spend the night apart, we'd like text each other just to say, oh, I had a wonderful night, came 10 times, la di da di da, all the sheets are wet, I'm gonna wash them, or whatever. Like, it could be just, hi, like, how's your day? And he didn't text me that morning, and something in me froze, like, oh my God, like, am I like less important? Because maybe we're so good that somehow I'm like, And then obviously I got a bit cross, and then he called me, and then obviously he was busy with whatever.
Washing
but like,
the sheets.
But there were possibly, yeah, and work stuff, which we still do from time to time in between having sex. You know, we still do some work of a kind. So there will be moments when you get kind of triggered, and it's very important to kind of go through that with patients and kind of give yourself time and discuss those things. Mm. So I think it's impossible to do something like that without some things being kind of shifted or triggered. But it was like really surprisingly smooth for us.
Because I thought it was just you'd done the deal for you to have different partners, but you'd both done the deal.
I don't think I would want it that way, to be honest. I would feel that there's something not quite right if it was just... Because it's about... really not just allowing each other to explore, but really believing, and I come from that place now, that he is so much better off as a human being and I'm so much better off as a human being if I fully explore my sexual potential, which also means being with many different people. Mm. And it's not just about sex, it's also about emotions. It's also about, I honestly feel these days like I'm just so like held by this masculine presence of these men in my life. And these days, like, there would be at least two that I can honestly say that I have feelings for. So it's about being genuinely excited for the other person, like wanting, and that's why it would be difficult for me, because I would feel like, oh, I'm exploring, I'm developing, there's all this kind of side of me. And if he wasn't doing that, then that would kind of create an imbalance.
Yeah.
If you really didn't want to, then...
This is making me feel anxious, genuinely.
Why?
Because I've walked out of a restaurant when my date flirted too much with the waitress.
Yeah, but that's...
So
it's different...
But that's a first date, and if his attention wasn't with you, then perhaps you've done the right thing. Mm. And there are some, like, unwritten rules, like, in the poly world around... how when you spend time with one person, you're actually really with them.
Yeah.
So, like, it's quite possible that you've done the right thing, because, like, it was at the stage where you're still building that commitment and you're still, like, really sussing each other.
How are you jealous? Would you do?
Because, well, it's from my sort of delves into polyamory, because it also gets called ethical non-monogamy, isn't it?
And well, there's ethical slut.
Ethical.
Like, there's all these... Like,
yeah.
Could it
but
be
it's all
that legit cheating as well?
No, because that's where the ethical part comes in. So it's
or
all
sex
about...
sex positivity. I love sex positive. Yeah.
And it's all about communication with the partner, and it is about trust. Cheating is a totally different thing. And I think this is where a lot of people get confused about polyamory and ethical non-monogamy, is that they think that it is just cheating. But that is a completely different kettle of fish, isn't it, wouldn't you say?
Probably maps to similar need in us.
Yes.
To experience ourselves, to kind of explore our sexuality and our emotional life. It's just that it gets channeled in a different way.
Yeah.
And for me, that would be a deal breaker if we decided to start hiding some stuff. It would be like, but why? Like,
yeah.
At the same time, I'm so far from judging people. I mean, that's not something that would work for me, but I appreciate that relationships are so complex.
Yeah.
And I know people who have an agreement, for example, that the husband or the wife is like much more sexually active. The other one isn't as interested in having a lot of sex, and they have an agreement, okay, don't ask, don't tell kind of thing.
Yeah.
Julia, what if you fall in love?
Huh?
What if you fall in love?
I already did.
Yeah, that's part of it.
It's part of it.
What do you do?
I feel like my capacity to like love people in general is kind of expanded because of it. Like, I relate to people differently. You have a few really good friends, and like, it's highly unlikely that one of them would be mad that you happen to be spending time with another one. Yeah. Unless it's a time where they really need you, their parent died or something, and you were like having drinks with another friend. And you can't really compare those friendships very easily. And it's the same with relationships. You can't really... It's just a whole different world, one relationship and the other. And yes, when we were at the start of this, I used to worry that, you know, perhaps I'll be so swept away by a fantastic experience with someone that what I have with my husband will stop mattering. But like right now, I'm absolutely convinced that that's not going to be the way.
You know, it's good for your relationship.
I've been in his life for 8 years and he's been in mine. We also work together. And I'm not able to be everything to this man, and he's not able to be everything to me, and that's an enormous pressure to have to fulfill. And I'm only happy to know that he is discovering himself, that he is kind of landing in his masculinity because of experiences he has with other women.
You're so further evolved than I am.
we'll get you there, baby.
I'm going to bring it right back down and talk about the filth.
Well, yeah, the filth.
Let's talk about the filth. First of all, I want to know, has it improved your sex life with your husband? Has
Bloody
it been?
Hell.
Right?
No, I'm like, I've never had more sex and better sex. And it's like different with different partners as well. And that's also the beauty of it. And you do end up bringing experiences that you've had with lovers to your core relationship or to other relationships that you have. Yeah. You do discover things. You do discover what you feel great in, what you like. You discover this kind of spectrum of sexuality that's kind of available to you.
Has there been any particular moments for you that stand, any standout moments?
Okay, so there's this Parisian guy I'm going to call the hippie GP because... He's a hippie GP. Like, he's a GP, but he's also, as he calls himself, a shaman apprentice. So he's got, like, really works with energy, where he's a tantra master, travels the world. He just spent a few months in Bali and Costa Rica and whatever else. And he fucked my crown chakra.
Hang on.
He fucked my crown chakra. He really did.
Okay,
this is amazing. So I'm going to tell you how it was. Okay. We're sitting together in the bed and he says, I can feel fear in you. Something's up. So when we're together, shit like that hits the fan. Like, it's just really, really interesting. And he is like, yeah. And when I tune into you, I can feel like this... thing in my belly, like I'm about to throw up, like something is going on in my system. And I'm like, how would I know what that is? And then he says, well, give me a starting point, like what could... And I'm like, oh yeah, recently I've been thinking about this trauma I had about around eating disorders, and like, because I used to be anorexic and bulimic, and like, it's as a teenager, quite fucked up relationship to food in general. And he's like... And he started, like, coughing as if he was about to kind of spit something out. And I was like, yeah, definitely. Like, and I kind of tuned into it. And then at some point he's like, okay, so what do you think you could take to, like, release this trauma or, like work with it or work through that energy or of that memory that you have? And I was like, and the first thing I thought was, like, I don't quite like to have sex. Like, we only have one more night together. And then as I was thinking it, he says... It's really weird, but I'm hard right now. I think I'm going to have to fuck this one out of you. Like, literally.
He's beautiful.
No, but it was like...
a beautiful romance.
But it's incredible. So, like, when we're together, like, shamanic shit like that happens, right? And then he proceeds to fuck me. And then I literally feel, like, all this stuff that you might read in a tantra book. Like, my pussy was one with my head. Like, it was, like what he was doing down here... was essentially, I was feeling it in my head, and I was feeling this kind of energy streaming through the top of my head as he was fucking me. So that was one of the really memorable ones, definitely.
He had
fucked a trauma out of my crown chakra.
Wow.
That's
Shaka Khan in my head.
No, but like, not every sexual experience is like that, but...
Where do you find the men?
They find me. No. I think it's always, as a woman, you always attract them to a degree. That's what I believe. There are a few parties I go to regularly where I kind of scout out the room for, like, some potential eligible candidates. Now, at this point, I've kind of hit more or less what to kind of tell you a bit about, like, poly lingo, what is considered polysaturated, so I'm not specifically on the lookout. However, you know, there's always a spot, you know, there's always a sweet spot if I run into somebody particularly interesting. But to answer your question, so the lovers I have at the moment, I met them at poly or sex positive play parties. Mm-hmm. It's also called reverse dating, when you first fuck someone and then you date them. Because, you know, all the clothes. It could be. But, like, here, like, it's just so much less room and need for bullshit. Mm. The clothes were already off. You already fucked. You already had hummus together while naked. Yeah, like, there's no point to keep up the pretenses or, you know. So that, some tantric events. I'm getting into tantra and some kink events. So I went to this kind of kinky skiing week recently. It was hilarious. So skiing during the day, wrapping each other in cling film during the evening, you know, and tying each other up and all that stuff. And there would be like one or two in so-called real life.
So-called real life.
One was a sober rave.
How many have you got at the moment? You've got your seven dwarves.
Seven dwarves.
So tell us about your seven, your lucky seven.
Okay. So there's the Ahmed. He's Palestinian and he is fit as fuck, and he is also very sweet.
Oh.
And I'm just going to see him tonight. Then there's my Norwegian sweetness. I really recommend, like, the Northerners. Fantastic.
The Northerners.
But the Northerners. Oh my god, Norwegian wood. Yeah, I'll call that one Manuel, and he is awesome. Like, it's basically like usually 3-4 hours straight with some breaks for nuts and for like grapes.
But
but it's like that kind of sex which is like really intense and really so much to be felt and expressed, and we go to different places together, and he can also like feel into different spots inside of me, so he can like, I started giving them names. So there's a spot in my vagina on the right wall, on the right hand side, which I called Albrecht, because it just very pronounced, kind of like powerful energy spot. And when he hits that spot, like, yeah, it feels really awesome.
We had a guest and she was talking about the clit clock, wasn't she?
The clit clock.
Yes, at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Already
know your.
So the hippie there, GP, used to be.
We're on number three now.
He used to be involved in orgasmic meditation, Omeng, right? And that's where you like learn all about like the stroking position of the clit and like, so 1 o'clock,
And you've got Albrecht.
Albrecht is on the right hand side, inside of my vagina, on the kind of right wall. So sometimes he can feel into different emotions as we're having sex, and as he's fucking me, he can kind of feel like, oh wow, I can feel some like sadness, like inside of you, and I'm like, what? And like, and like 30 seconds later, I'm crying and bawling my eyes out. So it feels like sex is so much more than it's probably the most powerful form of self-expression, self-exploration,
and
connection.
When you first started talking about it, you said that you were doing it for creativity. You used the word creative as opposed to lust.
At the same time, I'm kind of aware of not, because there's still a need in me, and I recognize it, to kind of justify, and I think all of us women have that, like, oh, I'm having a lot of sex, but it's for self-exploration, really. It's for, why not just for pleasure itself?
Yeah.
It's so important. So now that you've caught me up on that, I think it's interesting that I've said it. At the same time, I do feel like sex is so much more than like what it is, typically what it is out there in media and porn and as in a release.
Yeah.
It's probably the most powerful form of self-exploration and connection
is fun, BB. I'd promise you. It is fun.
We can show you.
Can you give it a go?
I can't wait. What day is it? What day is sex day? Tell us about number four.
Number six.
Okay, so we had number five is Eric, the American boy. Oh. American boy. So he is like a raver.
Okay.
He is so into his like Burning Man events. He's literally at different burner events in Europe every weekend.
Right.
It's crazy. He usually takes Fridays off and flies on Friday morning or Thursday night and comes back. He lives near Zurich, comes back on Sunday.
What's he into? What's his kink?
There's one that has very pronounced kinks
What's the pronounced kink?
So Andy the Pervert is your guy.
Oh, here we go.
From the Kinky Screen Week. He has the most extensive and astonishing collection of toys and devices I have ever seen in my life. And I've seen a few.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you go into his room and basically I kind of started looking like in all the places you usually have toys, so like bedside drawer and under the bed. And he's like, yeah, looking in the wrong place. Go to the main wardrobe. So I open the main wardrobe and there's like a collection of the most fabulous like leather outfits and just everything that you could
sex
possibly...
Has he got the oils?
So he's about to have a sex swing. He's got nipple clamps hanging above the bed just so you can pull them and kind of quickly do that. But he's about to... He has a human cage.
Nice.
In the corner of his...
Well,
so he's like...
Does he have a mini bar? Because I might need a mini bar to, for the rest of this interview.
He'll serve you up, no problem.
Does he go in the human cage or do you go in the human cage?
He goes.
Nice.
He goes.
Good girl.
All the time.
What do you do to him when he's in the cage?
Just ignore
last
him.
Last time I put... Last time I
put enders on.
You can try to put like the heel of your boots in one of his orifices, for example, or you can like tap him, or you can like get his head sticking out of the cage and sit on his face. You can like tease him with different things. You can just say, okay, you stay here and I lock you up and I'm going to go and have a walk or go to get some groceries. Wow. I'll see you in 3 hours. So like...
Number seven.
We've got Michael, who is like, he's got a body of Michelangelo's David. I literally compared his naked body, which he sent me plenty of pictures of, to like the picture of David. And it's like really... It's just the package is more sizable than the sculpture, but everything else is like, and he's got these like angelic blonde curly hair as well. Yeah. Very, very sweet.
Yeah. Wow. Are these men seeing other women?
Oh, Alex, the Dutch pilot as well. Oh, let's not forget about Alex, the Dutch pilot. Okay, so I was in this kind of meditation event in the Netherlands in Amsterdam. And as you do, you know, I was in a meditation weekend, but like on a Saturday night, there was also a play party because there was a tantra event somewhere in Utrecht, somewhere nearby. So I was like, nah, I can't, I'm not going to skip that. And I went over there and I met the Dutch pilot, who's the first guy I've ever seen that's younger.
Yeah.
Now I've got two of them, so the Andy the Pervert is also younger. And it's very exciting. Both of them are 6 years younger. And I'm like, whoa, toy boys. Yeah, and we kind of started... We didn't have full sex at the event, but like we did like a lot of body to body massage with, he's like a scout as well. So he brought all this, like, you know how sometimes.
A scout.
A boy scout. Yeah, a boy scout. Yeah. No. But like,
toggles.
Not how, like, you might know how BB probably won, but like when you go to a play party, you get the list of like, oh, bring your bottle of water and maybe some blankets. And he had a whole like massive bag with all the things on the list in two sizes. So he was like, here's where we're going to sit. And this is my massage oil and this is my water. Oh, and would you like some mints and la, 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 la. So I was like, this guy's got it sorted. So we were doing the body to body massage and it was like really good.
Are they seeing other women?
Mm.
And you're okay with that?
Absolutely. I would never... could never imagine a situation where all of them would be waiting for me as their only partner. I mean,
so what's
there would
head,
be a lot of pressure on me.
So it's about pressure. So the head mode is you think no one person can fulfill anything. That is pressure. So actually this way is positive for relationships because you're just kind of naturally doing what you should naturally be doing.
Yeah, like it's almost like with a friendship network, you might talk to your friend about another friend they're dealing with, but it's like you take it as a given that you're not the only friend. They're going to have other friends.
You can't be insecure and into this, can you?
No. It's communication and it's trust.
I think all of us will have bits and pieces of insecurity.
Yeah.
I mean, like if you're trying to claim that there's absolutely nothing, that, like you're usually fooling yourself. There's usually a level of unease about something and it's super important to kind of bring it in and discuss it.
Yeah.
What do you think you've learned about yourself with this? Do you think you'll carry on?
I think there might be periods in my and my husband's life where we're more active in our poly setups or less active. But I don't think I could ever go back to a relationship framework where it's just the two of us and there's no discussion about it. Like, it just feels so natural and so...
Yeah.
Like, there's so much more goodness generated because of it and, like, nobody gets hurt as well.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'll go back. What did I learn? I saw all my kind of shadows reflected back at me because when you think... If every relationship is like a mirror, if you're surrounded by mirrors, then you see all this. And also I learned about how kind of... caring and compassionate I can be also.
Mm.
And yeah, how I relate to people in general, what draws me to people, what I value in people and therefore what I value in myself. It's been It's been beautiful.
Do you have a top tip for anyone out there who is thinking about approaching their partner to say that they want to try this kind of lifestyle?
If you're thinking about approaching your partner, you probably have an idea of how they might react. So think about, like, what's their kind of system of values at the moment? What's their, like, upbringing? And perhaps try to come in at from the perspective of, how do you feel about this particular system of values? Or do you, so maybe not relating it directly to what's going to happen between us, but like, what do you think about this and that? What do you think about people who do, what do things you, like that?
So it's the old classic, a friend of a friend.
Yeah, but I would like challenge a system of beliefs, because it could often be that it may seem very scary when you talk about, oh, how about like we have a threesome tomorrow? I've got someone lined up, as opposed to, how do you feel about women? Or do you find it exciting to watch people having sex? Like, not just as in porn, but like live. Like, how would you feel about it? Like, how would you feel? And there are many gentle ways to kind of try out. So you can go to a play party and just be together, but like be watching other people. And that's, you know, perfectly possible. And kind of also, yeah, probably explore the idea that having sex with someone isn't necessarily a threat to a relationship. It's a form of expression. And even for me, at least at this stage, like feeling love for someone or tenderness for someone isn't a threat to a relationship I've built over 8 years, and that's so precious to me.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm convinced that, like, no matter if somebody fucks all my chakras at the same time, whatever happens, it's like, it cannot be erased, like, what's between me and my other half.
And thanks very much to Julia White.
I can feel my chakra doing things.
I know. Mine is spinning out of control. I'm going to leave a stain.
My name is Bibi Lynch.
And I'm Miranda Kane.
Good sex, bad. Yeah, very well done. Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Sam Bonham for metro.co.uk.
And if you're enjoying Good Sex, Bad Sex, then do get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Good Sex, Bad Sex, with three X's at the end, because Sam was trying to be funny.
See you in 7 days.